Amen. If you got a Bible with you tonight, turn with us over to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. The book of Genesis, chapter number 12. If you remember where we've been at, God had called Abraham, actually called Abram, he later changes his name to Abraham, to go off into a country that he doesn't know of, what we call the promised land, the land of Canaan. The land that even Israel lives on today, even though not all of it. And that's where we kind of left the story off, that Abraham had went over there and built an altar and worshiped the Lord and was journeying on. And then we picked the story up in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 10. It said, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with thee for my sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptian beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why dost thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to be wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had." Let's pray together tonight. Father, we bow before you, and God, we just want to give praise to your name. It is the name that's above every name. And God, we've gathered here tonight to worship you, and God, I pray you'd give us worshipful hearts. And God, as we look at this story of Abraham, God, help us to realize that the best place that we can be is where you'd have us to be, and not, God, not to leave when times get rough or we go through a rough patch, but we just keep on by faith and trust you to take care of our needs. Lord, we just want to say we love you tonight, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, here it is. God's called Abram to go into this land, and he hadn't there long, and he's been journeying a little while, and now a famine hits the land. And it's a very grievous famine, the scripture says. And Abram leaves the promised land and goes down to Egypt. Now, we know that in the Bible, the promised land, when you read the Old Testament, a lot of times we can see types and pictures of things later on. And in the Old Testament, the promised land is a picture of being where God wants you to be. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. It's a picture of having all that God intends for you to have. And Egypt is always a picture of the world. It is a picture of the flesh. It's a picture of going back away from the things that God have for you. And so what Abram does here is he leaves that place of victory and he goes back down into Egypt to sojourn. Now, let me say this tonight. The Christian life is not an easy life. I know that sometimes that we think it is, and man, if something goes wrong, we want to just throw ourselves down and say we're gonna quit this thing. But the Christian life is not easy. The victorious Christian life is not without bumps in the road. You know, when I think about them in Canaan land, in the promised land, guess what? There's inhabitants there. There's enemies there. There's giants there. There's famines there. And I want to tell you, in the victorious Christian life, there are all those things. There's enemies, there's rough times, there's rough patches, and there's famines, and we're going to look at that tonight. But all those things take place in our life. Having all that God wants for you is not easy. Do you think that the devil is going to sit back by and say, you know what, let's let them have all that God wants for them. Let's just let it be easy on them. We said this morning that you cannot escape the war of sin. You can't escape it. You could go off, you could buy you a camp on the river and go down there and live in it, lock the door, and never see anybody, and you cannot escape the war that rages in your life about sin. Can't do it. And so we understand that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's not going to leave you alone. Building a great church is not easy. Amen? If it was that easy, every church on every corner would be a great, thriving church. But the devil's not going to sit back by and say, hey, you know what? Let's let the church grow and do well and prosper without any kind of conflict or without any kind of adversarial attempt. He is going to come after us. And I want to tell you today that in your life, in your Christian life, and in the life of our church and every church, there are going to be times of famine. These things happen. Just like Abram, we don't like them. We wish that it wasn't like that. Just like a farmer wishes that every year was a bumper crop and everything goes well, we wish that in our own life. But it's not going to take place like that all the time for us. And Abram here is probably wondering why God called me to this land and then sent a famine. Why God told me to come here and leave all that I have and now a famine hits. The most sensible thing is for me to go down to Egypt where the famine is not. Folks, sometimes the most sensible thing is not what God wants us to do. Sometimes what we in our physical flesh think is the most logical decision is not the move that God wants us to make. And so there's going to be times of famine. You know, God tests us. And, you know, we wish that he didn't. We wish that it was just all easy all the time. And God allows things to happen, and he does it so that we'll grow. He doesn't do it to destroy us. He doesn't do it to harm us. He does it so that we can be all that he wants us to be and that we can have all that he wants us to have. That is God's plan in all these things. You know, I think about that, about famine. And sometimes I think about what a famine actually is. there's going to be times where, you know, there's a lack of rain. There's a lack of rain. And there's going to be times in our life when there's a lack of the presence of God. Now, I want to tell you what I mean by that. I don't mean that God necessarily leaves, because God's everywhere, right? Amen. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But there'll be times when he lets us, he kind of withdraws his manifested presence from us. What I mean by that is there'll be times when you read the Bible and you don't get anything out of it. And things have just dried up. I would say sometimes you might come and you don't get anything out of the sermon, but I'm preaching. You got to get something out of the sermon, right? No, but there's times when it doesn't seem like that, man. You just come and you say, man, the Spirit hadn't stirred in our services and souls haven't been saved, and all this stuff begins to go on. And we know that that happens in our lives. And you know what happens a lot of times when that happens to people? You know what they do? They change something. They quit. They leave. They put the Bible down. They quit praying. They say, you know what? I thought this was how it was supposed to be. They do what Abraham did, and they go back to Egypt. That's the wrong thing to do, my friends. God is testing us. You know what God wants us to do in those situations of famine? He wants us to continue on in faith, pressing forward to what he's called us to do. You know, there's also going to be times where there's a lack of growth. There's a lack of growth. I want you to know that growth is a process, and it happens in stages. It doesn't happen all at once. You know, we're not born full-grown people. We were a baby and a toddler and a teenager and a young adult, and the process continues on. Well, in the same regard, growth is a process not only within the church, but within the individual life of the believer. I do want you to understand that our growth as a Christian happens a lot like the growth of a person. The growth at first seems to be fast and great. I mean, you've never heard of some of this stuff, right? You've never heard, you might not have ever heard of Noah the Ark. Wow, you read it. Isn't that good? You've never heard about Jonah and the whale. You never heard about Jesus walking on water. Man, when you start reading the Bible and you start learning all these things, and it's the first time and it's so great. Well then you know all those stories, right? And then God begins to grow you in different ways. And you begin to grow slower. It's slower. Because here's what we do. A lot of us, we try to kill all the big sin. Everyone notice the air quotes. The big sin. We kill all that in our life. And we got all that taken care of. And we say, now what? Well, then God begins to kill the little sins in our life. The ones that we wasn't so sure we wanted to die. The ones that maybe society doesn't look at so bad. Maybe we don't look at them that bad, but God does. And so that growth begins to slow down. You know, I like working out. And I remember when I first started working out, I was so weak. I was so weak, and I got in the gym. And, man, we started working out, and I started making big gains. It was so awesome. You know, I'd bench press 140 pounds. Next thing you know, I'm just getting on up there. Well, then I got to a place where that's about all I could do. I couldn't get no more. I was talking to somebody that worked out all their life. You know, I said, man, I'm not seeing the gains I once did. He said, well, if you kept seeing them gains, you'd be bench pressing 600 pounds. He said, eventually, you only get as strong as you can get. And you got to grow in different ways. It's the same way with the Christian life. And sometimes we think, man, I'm not growing like I ought to grow. Well, you're going to grow differently. You're going to grow differently. Same way with the church, amen? The church grows in stages and processes, and it goes through that. But there'll be times where we're not growing. There'll be times where we don't see visitors. Burdick don't like them times, but those times happen. There's times when that goes on. And here's the answer is not let's abandon ship. The answer is we continue on. The answer is not let's change it up. No, we just keep doing what God called us to do. And we keep on by faith. I want you to know when one of these things happens to you and the lack of rain comes and the lack of growth comes, don't get so alarmed that you get, oh, what am I doing wrong? You just keep doing what you know to do. Amen. You don't be like Abraham and say, man, why'd God bring us here? God has a reason for it. God has a reason for it. You know, also in these famines, there's the addition of pestilence, and sin can get in our life, and we know that. And then there's also loss. People can fall away, and we can go wayward. I don't like it. You know, we have our little saying around here, row the boat. It always bothers me when people leave their oar in the boat and get out. It bothers me. I don't like it. But it usually happens during some of these times in their life or in the life of the church. You know, here they are, they're helping me, they're rowing the boat, we're getting this thing going where God wants us to go, we're pointing the right direction. They have a spiritual famine in their life. They say, Brother Derek, here's my oar, y'all have it. And get on. Now I got two oars I'm trying to row, right? We struggling. Who's rowing their part? And don't do that. Don't abandon ship when something goes. Don't go down to Egypt. We must never go to Egypt. We must stay in the promised land by faith, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. You know, a little later on, who was that? One of the missionaries preached on this with Isaac, Abraham and Isaac, his son. He said he didn't want Isaac going back into that old land. I think Abraham learned his lesson. Said, we can't leave. We can't leave. Stay here. Stay where we're supposed to be. And so we can't leave. But you know what's down in Egypt for us, for Abraham? Number one is trouble is there. You ever heard it say, like, nothing good ever happens after midnight? There's a lot of truth to that. And there ain't nothing good happens down in Egypt. There ain't nothing good happens out in the world. The only thing that's out there for us is trouble and temptation and sorrow and heartache and grief. And when we go that way, you will find that out to be true. And Abram did as well. Look at what happens. Abram and them go down to Egypt. And as they're getting there, Abraham thinks about his wife and he thinks about where they're going. He's not asking God anything anymore. He's not seeking God. And he says, you know what, Sarah, you are fair to look upon. What a compliment, amen. You are fair to look upon. And they're going to know that you're my wife. They're going to kill me and they're going to keep you alive. So I want you to lie and I want you to tell them that you're really my sister so I can stay alive. Now, here's the real deal about what's going on behind the scenes. What's going on behind the scenes is this, that Abraham has got away from God in the fact that he's not asking for God's direction. He has left God's plan, which is to go to this land, and he's went his own way. And you know what happens to Abraham and us when we do that is this. We will start making bad decisions. It is amazing to me that if you look at this Bible from the front cover to the back, you'll find that when people get away from God, they do not make good decisions. Man, we sit back, if we were Abraham's friend here and we were sitting watching this happen, we'd be going, Abraham, what are you doing? I can't believe you're doing this. And we do that to people we see all the time. I see people, I've seen many within the church, and I'm going, what are you doing? What are you doing? What decision are you making? What kind of thought process are you having? Well, the thought process is this. We're away from God, and we can't make good decisions. And by the way, I want you to know that outside of God, I can't make good decisions. I'll make a bad one. I can make a mess of it, amen? And you can too. And so we need to stay where God has us and stay close to Him and stay in His plan. And so he's no longer trusting God. He's went his own way. Not only that, but he assumes bad things. He assumes bad things are going to happen. It's a bad thing whenever you and I start just assuming that bad things are going to happen. We just assume the worst. We assume God's not going to provide. We assume God's not going to take care of it. We assume there is no hope. We assume that, hey, the sky is falling, when in reality, God is still in control. And he can still handle all of our problems. But he's not away. He's not close to God. And then, you know what he does? He allows this lie to go on. They get there, and he was right. The Egyptians saw his wife. She was fair to look upon. They recommend her to Pharaoh. Do you know why they recommended him to Pharaoh? Because they thought that she was Abraham's sister. Maybe if they knew that it was his wife, they wouldn't have done that. But then Abraham lets her go. And here she is in Pharaoh's house. So here's what he did. Two critical mistakes of sin in our lives is this. Number one, when we let sin go too far. It was a sinful thing to leave the promised land. It was a sinful thing to ask his wife to lie. And now it's gotten worse because he just kept on letting it go on and on and on. And what me and you oftentimes do is we let sin go on and on and on and on without ever dealing with it. Maybe we're harboring unforgiveness in our heart. You know what we do? We just let it go on and on and on. We got bitterness in our heart. We let it go on and on and on. We talked this morning about if a man looks on a woman to lust and he commits adultery in his heart. Well, let me tell you what happens. If you let that go on and on and on and on, you eventually commit adultery in the flesh. Amen. When you let sin go too far and let it go too long, it's a bad thing. Number two is when our sin begins to affect others, it's more deadly and more disastrous. And most of our sins affect others. Amen? If I'm in sin, if I'm away from God, if I'm not making good decisions, unfortunately, that's going to affect Laura and my children. And you are the same way. No matter who's around your life, your sin will begin to affect other people around you. And I don't know about you, but I like it. I like to, you know, worry about me. I don't like it when someone else's problem becomes my problem. I don't like it when somebody else's mess up has now become my problem. But that's what sin will do in our lives. Now, things get worse. Now, look at what happened in verse 16. I like this. Over there in verse 16, it's talking about Pharaoh. It says, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. You know what happened? In verse 16, Abram's life is a mess. But you know what happened? He had some short-lived blessings. Some short-lived temporal blessings. He's away from God. His wife's in another man's home. But hey, he's got some camels, amen? He's got him some sheep and oxen. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? And you know what happens when you get away from God? And I've seen this time and time and time again. People get away from God. You'll get some short-lived blessings. You might get a raise. You might get a promotion at work. You might make more money than you ever had. That's going to be short-lived now. You better not get used to it. Man, it might seem like the sun's shining on you for a little while. Don't get used to that. Because if you're God's child and you get away from him, those temporary blessings will fall by the wayside. You see, the devil's able to bless too. And the devil's able to give people stuff too. But it's short-lived. It won't last forever. What did they say about Moses? That he chose to suffer with God's people rather than enjoy sin for a season. See, you can enjoy sin for a season, but it will not last for long. And a lot of people get, what happens is, it's like a trap of the devil. The Bible says that we got to avoid the snares of the devil. And here's what the snare of the devil is. This is good, this is good, this is good. Wham, it's not good anymore. Your life's a mess. It seemed good for a minute, and now your life is in shambles. It's in shambles. So that's what's going on here in Abram's life as well. And by the way, let me say this. You might seem fine and blessed and happy physically, but it don't mean that you're spiritually being blessed. You can have a pocket full of money and your whole family be on the way to hell, amen? You can have a pocket full of money and food in the refrigerator and your whole life can be ruined spiritually. People always diminish spiritual judgment. We always want to look at the physical. Like, as long as I'm not sick and my kids ain't sick and my wife ain't sick, then God's not judging me. But when you're spiritually sick, you're being judged. You're being judged. And by the way, the hands on God's clock of judgment might wind slow, but they wind sure. And it might be time. I don't know how long it'll be, but God's going to make a move if you're his child. He does it with Abraham here. Look in verse 17. It says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. I've got good news and bad news here tonight on this. The good news is that God loves you and he won't let you stay away from him for long. The bad news is sometimes he goes to drastic measures to get you back and he'll do whatever he's got to do to wake you up and rattle your cage or whatever you want to say to get you back. Now that's good news. But I don't want God to have to take drastic measures to get me to be back where I need to be. So here's Pharaoh. He's got Sarah there with him. He's been whining and dining her. Everything's going good. And now God sends the plagues upon his house. And he finds out why it's going on. In verse 18, he says this. He says, what is this that thou hast done unto me? What kind of stunt have you pulled? Now you've got God Almighty sending plagues upon my house. And let me tell you what's good. God, thank God that he intervenes. I mean, this could have got a lot worse. This could have got a lot worse. This could have ruined and derailed Abraham's life. And by the way, we might not have ever heard about Abraham. This might not even have been wrote down in the Bible, because it said, well, I started with Abraham. He got wiped out with that trip to Egypt. Now y'all never heard about him. But God intervenes. He intervenes. You know what God has done in your life so many times that you don't know nothing about? God has intervened. See, it's a little different for us. I can, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20. I can look back and see the hand of God in my life on some intervention times. But while it's going on, we don't see it. And a lot of times we don't notice what God is doing, but thank God that he does. Thank God he has spared me from myself. He has spared me from terrible decisions. He has made things not work out so that I could be where he would have me to be. And God does that for us. He did it for Abraham. He'll do it for you. Amen. He says, what is this that thou hast done? And Abraham, he sends Abraham and them away. He sends them on their way. He says, take your wife, go on, hit the road. And Abraham's back on the journey that God has for him. Now, here's what we need to take home with us tonight. Number one is this, that God has us in a place and God has good things in store for us. God wants you to have all that he wants for you. The victorious Christian life is not always an easy life. It's not always mountaintops. It's not always great days. There are going to be bumps in the road and rough patches, and what we must do is we must continue on by faith. Do not abandon ship. Do not go down to Egypt. Do not forsake the Lord just because it appears that something didn't go your way. Amen. Just because it appears like, hey, I'm not growing as fast as I ought to, or God hadn't spoke to me in 3 days, or God hasn't answered my prayer in 2 weeks, you just keep on going, amen? There's such a blessing in continuing to go on in faith, because guess what happens? You know, just like I talked about this famine, you know what's good about famines? They don't last. Things change. You know, I was watching on the news. Y'all have seen all the rain California's got. All the reservoirs are full. They said the decades-long drought in California is over, and now they've got the water. Isn't that something? They were acting like global warming had California ruined, and they wasn't ever going to get it again. And now they worried about the dams holding the water. They got so much they can't handle it. If you just wait a minute and just stick it out, God will bless. You know, I seen a picture. It was two different guys. It was kind of like this. It was set like that, piece of paper cut in half. And one of them had a guy mining. They were mining for diamonds, you know. And it had a little thin piece of dirt, and he was still chipping away. And the other one had that same thin piece of dirt, and he was walking away discouraged, you know. In other words, maybe the diamonds are just right there. Just keep going a little bit further. Take another step. And so do not go back to Egypt. Do not quit on God. We must keep going no matter what happens. Amen? Amen. Boy, it's been good to be with you tonight. I hope that you're in a good season of life, but if not...